Your will be done in and through our lives. Thank you, Father. Praise be to God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know, sometimes people are called for specific reasons. And I remember Billy Graham, the evangelist, he said that Christians now and preachers now, he said, should have the newspaper in one hand and the Bible in the other hand. And they should be able to, you know, bring the two together. And I think in some ways, you know, that's what we've been called to do. We have our fellowship here, but of course our remit from God is further. And we're involved in all sorts of other things. And it's very interesting what happens. I shared on a few things this week, which, in fact, you know what? I'll save that till later. What I wanted us to do here was to establish something. There's a lot of confusion in the church world, a lot of confusion. And I don't want to be harsh, but I just have to call it as it is. It's ignorance. In regards to Israel and what's going on there. And I just want to just share some things briefly on that with you. It's very important that we don't walk in ignorance. It's a subject that I've tried to avoid as much as I can, because it can cause controversy, and it's not something I really particularly want to talk about, but I do feel compelled to share, because I want us to pray, and I want us to pray with understanding. So there's a lot of talk, you know, about Israel in the church world, and when you talk about Israel to Christians, what you find is usually there's a high percentage of enthusiastic support for Israel. Now, when I talk about Israel, I'm talking about geographical and political Israel. And so the Christian church world is unquestioning in their support of Israel very often. In fact, they send financial support to Israel. And I just want to say this to you all. I'm qualified to say this in many ways, because my family have a great love for Israel. My mother's side of the family, there's trace their Jewish roots. And so, you know, I have a lovely talit that I was presented with, which is now sitting in my bedroom in a place of honor. And when I grew up as a boy, I was always hear about Israel. Israel, Israel, Israel. We're going to Israel. You're going to go to the kibbutz. And you're going to work in the kibbutz for a little bit. And I said, I don't want to go there. My uncle went there. And you always hear about the people who got to the kibbutz and all this, you know. And you know, Israel, we always had a great love for Israel. But I'm talking about now a non-religious, if you understand, you know. So just a love, you know, not based on a false religious understanding of what the Bible says, which is what we have in the church in the main. And I want to share it with you, because when you have an insight into these things, listen, Jesus says you should know the truth. What did he say?
Truth.
He said truth?
He said truth.
They that worship me must worship me in spirit and in
truth.
So you see, truth is a very important concept in the New Testament. When Pilate was speaking to Jesus, what did he say? What is truth?
Yeah.
Truth is a vital New Testament concept. And so when you understand that so many people are missing it on a certain area, and I'm not talking about 90%, I'm talking about 100% of an understanding in an area, because I know what it says. You have to share that, okay? And I'm amazed that it's not shared more often. But it's quite easy. It's not difficult. And it's very important because it allows us then to pray in the truth, to understand in the truth, and to walk in the truth, and not to be in cliche, religious cliche. Yeah. Okay? That's something that we need to avoid. There's a lot of cliche in the church. We have to avoid it. Like you would avoid, let's say, a plague. Okay? So follow me this morning. Look, follow me, and it's exercise for the mind. Just picture, okay, so we have to really apply our thinking to this. Not necessarily easy. If you want a nice, easy three-point sermon, da-da-da-da-da, yeah. We're not doing that this morning. What we've got is something that just have to apply this. It's important because it will affect all sorts of other things, especially in these days. Okay, so Israel, the Israel of God. It says in Genesis, I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And that's a wonderful promise, isn't it? Promise there for Abram and for those who oppose Abram. And the promise to Abraham was passed down then to his son Isaac and to his grandson Jacob. Genesis 27, 1 to 29 talks about that. And Jacob, of course, was renamed Israel. So the promise of Abraham passed on to Israel as well. You see that in Numbers 24. I won't go into all of that now, but obviously we have the background. We're aware of the background. Now, it says then, okay, that the Israel of God, okay, that most people understand when they hear talk about Israel, they think of the geographical Israel now and the Jewish people. And that they think that they have a very important role in what God's doing on the earth now. I've heard it often spoken about like this. And many of my friends, people I get on well with, they have this view. And no matter how often I do a Bible study with them or try to open this up, it's just a blinker. They just can't see it. And it's causing problems. Okay, now then. The Old Testament was a promise to the people of Israel, the geographical people Israel, okay? That was the Old Testament. The New Testament did away with Israel as a geographical people, a geographical realm. In the New Testament, it's no longer a geographical realm and limited to a geographical people. It's no longer the case. That was done away with. It no longer applies. Look, it's important that we understand the church is made up of Jews and Gentiles, yes, united in Christ as one body. Amen. There is a doctrine in the church which was promoted in the early 1900s called dispensationalism. Don't fall asleep. It's important. Dispensationalism, because it applies to what's going on in the news now. Ignorance, okay, will keep you blissfully unaware. But when you're aware, it stirs you. It stirs me because I'm aware. I understand what happened. A man called Silas Schofield came up with a Schofield Reference Bible in which he'd copied the notes of a man called J.N. Darby, who was known for his various heresies. And J.N. Darby's notes were promoted in the Schofield Reference Bible through Cambridge University Press, and they flooded the market with those Bibles. That was around about 1917. At the same time, the Balfour Declaration was sent by Lord Balfour to Lord Rothschild, giving Israel a portion of land, or giving the Jewish people a portion of land in Palestine. Okay? So the Jewish people were given a portion of land in Palestine because of the Balfour Declaration. That's how it started. The reference Bibles, which promoted dispensationalism, were promoting the same doctrine. They were promoting the same doctrine. And what they did was they piled them high and sold them cheap because they flooded the market with them. And so now if you go to America, most of the people in America believe in that doctrine of dispensationalism, which was a heresy invented by J.N. Darby, which says this. It says this. It pretends to be nice to Jewish people because it puts them sort of on a little pedestal. Oh, we've got to defend Israel. We've got to defend the geographical territory of Israel. Oh, we've got to pray for, you know, and especially love the Jewish people and especially have a thing for them. And that sounds nice, doesn't it? Actually, it's against the Jewish people. It's against the Jewish people. I'll explain why. Once you separate them and say, oh, well, you see, your dispensation, isn't this the church dispensation? No. This is what the doctrine of dispensationalism teaches. Your dispensation is for another time. It's a later time after Jesus returns and then, you know, that's when it'll apply to you. But this time now is the church dispensation. Your dispensation comes later when he's going to restore those old covenants back to you. What an evil, treacherous doctrine. Because what it does is it sets up, it undermines the church, it undermines Paul's teaching, there's neither Jew nor Gentile, male nor free. It undermines all of the New Testament. And it undermines those people because it says, hey, you lot, it's not for you. See, that's the subtlety of the thing. It pretends to like, but it says it's not for you. This is for us. Are you with me?
Yeah.
They will often say to me, these friends who I disagree with, they would often say to me, oh, but it says, look, all Israel will be saved. Romans 11 says all Israel will be saved. I'm quick to turn them to Romans 9, where it says, not all Israel is Israel. The Israel of the New Testament, the New Covenant Israel, are people from all different nationalities, all different realms, whether you're born in Australia or Wales or anywhere else on planet Earth, if you trust in Jesus Christ, you are now the Israel of God. That's the New Testament. That's the Israel of God, and that includes Jewish believers, of which there have been plenty, and that includes anyone else on planet Earth. And you see, that's the unity that we must have. And so when I look at this thing going on in Israel right now, I know brothers who are Palestinians, wonderful Palestinian families, who have had their land robbed from them. The land has been stolen from those Palestinian people. Churches stolen that have been in their land for generations. And then you have people, okay, who despise the gospel of Jesus, but they happen to be Jewish people. And you've got all of these people then, right, cheering them on, saying, oh, yes, yes, we support you. Go, 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 go. Let me explain it further. Oh, I hope you're following me. Please follow me. Yeah. Listen what it says. There's the Jewish book, okay, is called the Talmud. In the Talmud, it says that Jesus is burning in hell. Did you know that? Well, you do now. You know that that's what the book says, okay? So when the Israeli Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, says, we are a Talmudic state, those Christians are applauding and saying, yes, great. Yeah, we're with you. We're 100% for you. And I'm thinking to myself, I know what the Talmud says. I know it says Jesus is burning in hell. Can you see the problem that ignorance causes? This is why we have to be informed. And so many aren't informed. Look, I'm not saying anything that's not verifiable, independent truth. Okay? Check it out for yourself. I would advise you, check it out for yourself. Be aware of what these things say. And so what we should do is this. This is what we should do. We should be promoting the gospel of Jesus Christ, not some other thing that's coming in the future, the gospel of Jesus Christ to Jewish people now, Amen. To Palestinian people now, yeah. Recognizing that there are Jewish brothers now and sisters now, Palestinian brothers and sisters now. Amen. And in fact, the Church of Jesus Christ has nothing to do with that type of conflict. It's above that conflict in the sense that we're not dividing ourselves into parties and states. We're uniting ourselves in the body of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so anything then, you see, this is why I'm speaking on this morning. Anything that tries to separate us and says, oh, this, I'm not for it. I think we have to really engage with those difficult political positions. It's much easier to ignore it and not bother. It's much easier. But you know, to be responsible, sometimes you can't ignore things. In being responsible, you have to engage with those things that cause us to think a little bit, yeah. And to really, you know, apply our intelligence. He's given us a sound mind. Amen? Amen. Well, we've got to use it. It's not enough to say, yes, he blessed me with intelligence. He blessed me with the ability to read. But guess what? I'm not bothered. That's not good enough. If he's blessed us with intelligence, blessed us with the ability to read, assimilate knowledge, we have to take that in and then apply it to our lives. It's not good enough. It's an easy excuse to ignore it all. It's going on around us. It's part of what's going on right now. And as Billy Graham said, the responsible Christian preacher should have a Bible in one hand and a newspaper in the other. And he ought to be engaging in both of those. We've been called to be a light. Where? In this church? In the world! Are you with me this morning, everyone? Please. It's very important. And so when I say those things, this is something I want to just touch on here, and then we're going to finish. It says this. George Orwell said an interesting thing. You know George Orwell? Yeah. 1984, yeah. That famous book. He said this, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those that speak it. Yeah. Good insight. Yeah. Christians are God's chosen people. The Apostle Peter taught, those who believe in Jesus Christ are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. So if I say this morning, who's the chosen people of God? What do we say? We are. We don't think about it too long and say, well, it could be, is it the Jews in Israel? It's us! We're the chosen people of God. It's you and me. Okay? And what difference does that make? It makes all the difference in the world. Because once you know that you're chosen, you walk differently. You think differently. You know that actually, hey, we may be a small group. Guess what? We can change the world. Seriously, it doesn't. I know. Look, God is the one with God is the majority. And if God wants to do something, God can do something. Okay? I'm not moved by what I see or what I feel. I'll be moved by the truth of his word and his reality in me. You see? That's what he's called us to. And so he's calling us to walk in that realm. And what I find is that in the church, what we have is we've got a church filled with people who don't understand these basic things. And so when you speak to them, I'm telling you, I've been in churches and I've said, who's the chosen people of God? The Jews. accento vero, ma se vite. No, come on! I mean, it's us. The riches of his grace, the treasure of Christ is in you and me. Well, if the treasure of Christ is in you and me, what are we going to do with it? Well, live just like an ordinary life. Never! My life is never meant to be ordinary, and it's never meant to be just a life that's contained to the realms of my thinking. It has to be engaged in that supernatural potential of God. So when we understand and when we've applied this, what happens is now God has now, well, you see, the first part of receiving is an expectation to receive. So when we positionally know that we're the called, the chosen, the elect of God, then we're in a position now to receive. Amen. You see, that reality has to be very solidly in us for that to really start to be worked out through us. So it says in 1 Peter 2, his own special people, verses 9 and 10, who were once not a people, you see, not a geographical, physical realm, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Jesus taught those who believed in him, you have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you, he says in John 15, verse 16. You know, the thing is this, God doesn't need to be fair in the human sense of the word. You know, we often think that fairness is something, and we're told that fairness is something to be appropriated, or we've got to be fair. You know, we've got to be fair, and fairness is something that's lifted up in today's society. Oh, yes, you must be, everyone's got to be fair. God doesn't need to be fair, and God's not fair. God chooses. He just chooses, okay? That's his way. It's right throughout the word. And what we've got is we've got a world that's wagging its finger at God, telling God that he's not being fair, telling God what it's doing, and you know, defying God. Well, what we do is we say no. We yield to God. Romans 8:29 says, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he may be the firstborn among many brethren. And I like 1 Peter 1:2. It's a beautiful scripture. It says this, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Christ. And we're going to take Holy Communion. And this Holy Communion is, in fact, a representation of the sprinkling of the blood of Christ. We take it into ourselves. What a glorious thing it is. Precious brothers and sisters, we're to bless all people. But, you know, we live with that. We're to love all people. We must love Israel. We must love Palestinians. We must be fair. We must have parity. We must be fair and have parity and realize that whether you're Israeli or whether you're Palestinian, the ultimate only question is, are you in Christ? Yes. And that's the key question. And that's the question that we should have on our minds as we then pray and as we try to engage possibly with people who are involved over there. I've been invited this week to become a trustee of a charity that has a great evangelism, the biggest evangelism work in Israel. And I'm going to be praying about whether I become a trustee with them or not. But it's an interesting thing, isn't it? Yeah. It's an interesting thing, you see. You've got to understand these things. And then when you go in, you have something to say based on knowledge, based on an understanding of history, based on understanding of what the word is saying, and not based on Christian cliches, boring old Christian cliches. You turn on the Christian TV now. Oh, And so many people is talking with a funny bias about Israel. Very funny bias. Watch those. When I mean watch, I mean don't watch those. Because it's a lot of it's really off, way off. And I just have to be strong in it because it's in the center of our news at the moment. I don't want to speak necessarily about those things, but I have to engage with this because it's so, some of it's so wrong and it's right center in the news. So, praise God. In the Old Testament, God chose a nation. He discriminated against other nations. He chose the Jews. Equality wasn't the order of the day. Jesus, in fact, you know, comes first for the Jews. Where's the equality or fairness in that? That's what my Bible teaches, everyone. Don't get cross at me. That's what it teaches, okay? And then God decides that we who are wise to submit to his will with gratitude join in. And in the New Testament, he manifests that and says that he's chosen another people. This is the New Testament. And he says that in the New Testament, he's chosen another people, not limited to a geographical area, but his church. The believers who accept Jesus as Lord and Savior are his chosen people now. From all over the world, we're gathered into this one body, the body of Jesus Christ. What a glorious thing it is to be in the body of Jesus Christ. And today, my precious brothers and sisters, you and I get to partake of this Holy Communion. And we heard the testimony from Louise earlier, a quite remarkable testimony of that scar disappearing, and what a lovely thing. And, you know, so much God has done for us in our lives. And we come to this table in expectant faith of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ being sprinkled over our lives, being applied to our lives. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. We take this and we know that all of our sins have been dealt with. And it's a reminder. In the book of Acts, the early church is seen to go from house to house taking communion. They took the communion from house to house and they remembered what God has done. They remembered it. They kept on remembering it. They didn't have it once and then forget. They kept on taking of that communion, reminding themselves. Why? Because every day there is a battle taking place for our minds. Every day there's a warfare for our minds, for our attention. So we have to discipline ourselves and say, right, I'm going to remember what Jesus has done. I'll remember that he's washed me. I'm clean before him. And maybe, like me, you've had a difficult week. Maybe there's been a lot of things going on and it's been quite tricky. And I'm looking forward to taking the Holy Communion this morning. And I'm doing it in faith, knowing that Jesus has washed me clean and knowing that his flesh was torn. And the Bible teaches by his stripes we were healed. And that healing, maybe there's an area in our lives that we need to apply that healing to today. So as you come forward for Holy Communion, come with confidence that your sins are dealt with and come expectant that healing can be yours. You take that bread, the flesh of Christ was torn. By his stripes we were healed. You have the bread for healing. You have the wine for the remission of sins. What a great thing it is we're going to do this morning. Yeah. This is a tremendous act, a spiritual act of Holy Communion. Glory be to God for it. Amen. So come forward, my precious brothers and sisters. And Micah, would you help me, please? And Father, we thank you, Lord, for this act of Christian faith. We thank you, Father, on this Mothering Sunday. And I thank you, Father God, that even the ladies who haven't given birth are mothers. their mothers to those young ones that they come across, their mothers to those old ones that they care for, their mothers who care. And I thank you, Father God, for all of the ladies in this church. I thank you, Father, for what you've done in our family here at Living Faith Church. We come now expectant for what you are continuing to do as we take this Holy Communion. We give you praise. Praise be to God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.